Good morning, everyone. It is just a beautiful pleasure to be here today to lift God's praises up in song and to just worship Him in prayer, to learn His word. It's just amazing that we're here. I've got a few announcements for you this morning. This coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock, Pastor JP and I will be putting a little bit of information together for baptism and membership. So if anybody is interested in finding out more about those two things, please join us in Fellowship Hall, and that would be great. It's at 7 o'clock. Just a reminder that the midweek prayer-focused service is on this Wednesday evening at 6:15. That's correct, isn't it, JP? 6:30, okay. Come early. You can get a little extra praying in. It'll be awesome. And I guess Michelle Kleinstuber has booked the bowling alley for us. Woo-hoo. We have to remember that we're Christian brothers and sisters, because the last time I was there, it was very competitive and some very intense looks on people as they're bowling. But that is Sunday, April 2nd, and it'll be from 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's welcome. Extend the invitation out if you have friends, family. Everybody's welcome to join us. There's no charge for it as well. And as our search committee is continuing to meet, they do have a meeting tomorrow, and I would just ask that you just keep them in your prayers as they continue to search for our pastor to lead us forward. I would just like to just maybe prepare our hearts for prayer with a little bit of scripture this morning. And I'd like to read from Romans chapter 3, in particular verses 22 to 24. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Let's just create that picture in our mind as we close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father God, so many names to describe You, but none of them do justice. You are always everywhere, an amazing God. You've lent us Your grace through Your mercy, and through that we've been justified. And Lord, we're just humble servants. Just ask that You just continue to love us as a parent would. Teach us, correct us. That's how we will know in our human hearts and human minds that we feel Your love and Your protection, Lord. Father, we lift our world up to You. I don't even know where to begin when we start praying about our world, Lord. This creation that's just a constant source of pain and sorrow and war. But also, Lord, we look at Your creation and we see the beauty of it. We see it in the spring rain. We see it in the fall colors. We look up into the heavens and see the vastness of it. And the vastness that we see is only a very small proportion, Lord. And then we just think in a very small way, about Your creation of life and how intricate and how detailed it is, even beyond the ability to see it with a microscope. It is vast. It is amazing. And Father, we just lift up our world leaders to You today. particularly with what's going on in Eastern Europe and Russia and Ukraine and all the countries that are surrounding it that are also affected by this. And Father, I particularly think about Finland today with my family that are there, and it shares a border on its east side with Russia. I also lift up our missionaries to you, Lord, the ones that we support in prayer, the ones that we support financially, and just the ones that we support individually as well. But in particular, I think about the Oaks and the work that Avant is doing through their Poland and Polish operations, helping the people of Ukraine out. That is an amazing thing that your people, Lord, are everywhere and have a heart to serve like that. But I also think about the Chens and the Swensons and the challenges that they face with ethnos in Papua New Guinea. And we're gifted to be able to just have continuous news from them about what's going on in their work in that country. And Father, I think about our church and our community. This building that's been here for a number of years, and a place where we come together as brothers and sisters to worship. And I think about it as a place, Lord, where your Holy Spirit moves. Your Holy Spirit is powerful. It indwells us. It gives us strength where we're weak. It gives us abilities. And it helps us, Lord, to find the strength and the endurance to further your kingdom. It's a place, this community, where we pray that your name will be exalted. It's a place, Lord, where we might have some power against spiritual warfare, that your word and your light will shine out from this building and this into this community and just be a strength to it. Father, we know that this is a perfect place for imperfect people. I include myself amongst that. And we just pray that our community knows that, that they can come into this building, that they can worship, they can become part of this fellowship. That's what we're about. And Father, we just thank you for your gift of salvation. Justified by your grace, saved through your mercy. As Easter comes up, Lord, and it's coming soon, we just pray that we'll carry that in our hearts and properly prepare our hearts for that celebration. And it is an amazing celebration, Lord. Father, this is a place where we can serve in this church and in this community. And Father, you've given us spiritual gifts, you've given us talents, and no talent is greater than another. It's things that we are able to do and able to serve. And so we just ask that you prepare our hearts to be able to reach out and use those gifts and use those talents to help build your kingdom here. Father, we pray that this will be and continue to be a place of openness, and as our pastor has been preaching about, a place of humility, not a place of self-centeredness. You've asked us to be humble, Lord, to reach out with the loving, caring hand and heart into this community, and we just pray that we can find ways within us to reach beyond ourselves and express your love that way. And Father, we pray that this church is a church of generosity and that we can use the resources that we have that have been given to us by you. None of it comes with us in the end when we come to your glory, Lord. None of it comes with us. So help us to be good stewards of it. And I just pray at this moment for our offering here today at the end of the service as we're leaving, if we haven't already done that on the way in, that you will take that and use it to your purpose, Lord, to extend your kingdom here and in the community and throughout the world. And Father, I just want to end this prayer today with our church prayer, because this is your place of worship, your place of fellowship, and we're just extending that out into the community. And I would just say, Lord, glorify yourself in a special way in this church. Give us a clear vision of yourself and what you would have us be and have us do. Fill this church to overflowing each week with people who have an insatiable thirst for you, a relentless hunger for your word of truth, a passion for obedient service in and through the ministries that we have put together here. We are your people. We are your fellowship, Lord. We come together to bring glory to you, and we lift all this up today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? It's great to see everyone. It feels like spring a bit more out there, doesn't it? And of course, we had spring forward. The hour forward is always a tough thing last week. I heard someone say this week, who decided to spring forward at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night or Sunday morning or on the weekend? Why couldn't they do it at 4 p.m. on a Monday afternoon? That's a good idea. Anyway, we made it through. I know fall back is always much easier, but we're looking forward to some nice weather. Also, want to say, Jack, today is, I don't want to embarrass you, but we need to, today is his 85th birthday. 85th birthday. Let's sing happy, can we sing happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jack. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Well, we have been talking about the topic of humility, and I hope you all have been enjoying it as much as I have been enjoyed working on these messages. We are going to be, I want to say, ending off our series today. And there were a number of things where I could have gone today, a number of things on my heart to share. But one of the things, what came to mind is about fearing God, which is a cure for pride. What is the cure for pride? It's fearing God. And of course, we've been talking about how humility is a root that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Now, why do we need to produce the fruit of the Spirit? And the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit, at the end of it, it's not just for our own things, to have good things in our life, although that is a part of it. It's actually to manifest Jesus in our lives so that we can truly be a reflection of Christ to the people around us, so that they will get a glimpse of Christ through Christians, right? So that we represent him not only in this church, but in our everyday lives. Because for some people, there's many people in this world that will never ever sit down and read the Bible. So for many people, we will be the only Bible that they ever see. Our lives, our testimony, our words to them could be the only thing that they ever hear of the gospel. So we need to walk in humility. It's important to us. And again, our last week in talking about humility, I say our last week, but really humility should be pulled into every sermon, this topic. But we're talking this morning specifically about the fear of God. Fearing God, which is a cure for pride. Now, before I go on, I want to tell you a bit about when I was young. When I was in high school, I was very shy. And perhaps you've heard me say this before, but I was very, very shy. And I know teenagers deal with a lot of different kinds of insecurities. And you know, I was no different than any other teenager, if you will. You know, just shy. I was embarrassed to walk into a class late. Or I was shy enough to not want to answer questions in my class. You know, in the fear of, you know, possibly looking like I wasn't maybe as smart as the person next to me. Or you know what I'm talking about? Now, after high school, I spent 2 years with YWAM, which is Youth of the Mission, doing missions. And that really brought me out of my shell. I fell in love with a real and loving God and really knew that God was for me, that he wasn't against me. It became real to me, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of the love of God, I had an experience, a revelation of the love of God in my life. And it was so important to me that nothing else mattered. When I was out on the mission field and talking to people about Christ, or playing guitar on a worship team, or in a drama, which we did a part of our team, it was more important recognizing what I was doing, that other people got a revelation of who God was. And that was more important than my shyness. So it really brought me out of my shell. And it really came to a point where I didn't care what other people thought of me. I had friends in who were missionaries who could go up and witness to anyone in any situation. It blew me away. They could knock on doors. They could go down to a street corner. Literally, as part of my second year, I had to go to a street corner with a microphone and an amplifier, and everyone in our class had to preach just a short five minute sermon. But we would do that. And it was tough. But I was stretched in so many ways, and God brought a change in me. And I later realized that all my insecurities that I, when I was in high school, they didn't even matter. You look, you know, when you're older, you look back and go, why did I care so much about that? And I actually believe that when we're all in heaven, we'll look back on this life and go, why did we care so much about this or this or this or this, you know? That was not a big deal. But I knew that I needed to live my life for God and not for others. Again, I was changed. Now, afterwards, again, after I came back from those 2 years, I was speaking at youth events or being a part of worship teams. I even went to an old teacher of mine in high school and asked if I could speak in her science class about creation, the God of creation. And she allowed me to, and it was an amazing experience. If you will, I was on fire for God. And it was amazing. And then I actually went to Bible school. And I was so thankful that I had the 2 years of hands-on experience. I encourage anyone to do missions trips. Anyway, again, I learned the fear of the Lord, meaning I put my trust in God because of God's love for me. It drew me in to him. And I remember reading the verse that refers to Jesus in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, and it says this: a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now, this is talking about Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It says here that Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. He was excited to trust his Father in all things. And he not only walked in the fear of the Lord, but he also modeled in it. He modeled it for us. Now, before we go on, I want to give a definition of the fear of the Lord, which is this: it's reverential awe and respect of God. Reverential awe. Have you ever been in awe of something or someone? reverential awe. And what respect, the highest respect. Respecting him and his word, his living word above all things. It involves a life given to please the Lord more than pleasing people. And Matthew 3:17 says this, a sudden, and I don't have all the scriptures, just so you know, so you're not confused by it. Some scriptures I do, some scriptures I don't. Oh, I do have this one. Matthew 3:17 says this, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Remember this verse? This is after Jesus was baptized. And I love this because before ever preaching one sermon or healing any sick or performing any miracle or fulfilling any aspect towards the ministry of his Jesus' calling, it says that his father was pleased with him. His father loved him. In other words, he loved him as a son. And God loves us that way as well, as his sons, as daughters, as children. That's what we sang about this morning, right? That's why we sing that song. In John 8:29, it says, And he who sent me is in me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. That's what Jesus was saying. I always do the things that my Father tells me to do, for I always do those things that please him. That please the Father. And Jesus, we know this from studying his life, he waited for the Father's timing and initiative before moving out and taking action. He didn't just go around doing things. He always, always sought what his Father, God the Father, wanted of him in prayer, right? And so do we. He humbled himself. And out of that, he knew what to do and when to do it. Jesus spoke the word of his Father, and he trusted his Father with the results. And he trusted it with his family and with his disciples and even with religious leaders. I'm not going to take the time to go into those things, even though I'd like to. But he trusted the Lord with his family and with his disciples and even with the religious leaders. There were times that people left, even disciples left him. He didn't go chase after them or try to prove every single person wrong, because there were people who always had questions, right? He didn't have the time to answer every question. But he was doing, what was he doing? He was doing the work of his Father. He heard from his Father. He believed it and he obeyed. Humility. Another way of saying it is Jesus was not insecure, right? Especially when he was dealing with the other religious leaders. He was not insecure. His goal wasn't trying to impress people or to win them over. Instead, his focus, again, was doing the will of the Father. This reminds me of Proverbs 1:7 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The starting point of knowing God is understanding his word and delighting ourselves, if you will, in the fear of the Lord, in his wisdom. This means to delight in pleasing the Father more than any man or organization or denomination. In Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It involves a decision to hate, if you will, what God hates, but also to love what God loves. And the more we know that, the more we know God our Father, the more that comes to us automatically. To love what God loves. And we cannot fear God and know God in the arena of tolerating evil. It's impossible to defeat or overcome, if you will, if we've made enemy a friend or a pet, if you will. Sin is an enemy. Amen? Now, the word hate in the Greek is sune, S-U-N-E. I don't know if I'm saying that right. sune, means to make, it means to make a personal enemy of. And in Psalm 97:10, it says, "You who love the Lord hate evil." And I'm sure there's some people going, wait a minute. The Bible, all we hear is that we're supposed to love. Yes, but we're also supposed to hate evil, right? It's the same Bible, same word of God. And fearing the Lord involves making, if you will, a personal enemy of those things that God calls evil. Now that doesn't sound very gracious, Pastor JP. That does it. Now, let me differentiate. This is not hating people, okay? I don't want to make any mistakes. God has called us to love people, commanded us to love people. And to what? To pray for them. We love people, but we hate sin. That's the difference, right? Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." What is this saying? This is saying this is a spiritual war. That's what we war against. Sin is and always will be the root of all evil, right? What cuts off the root of evil? The power of the blood of Jesus. Amen? It's a spiritual war. So we don't look at people as being our enemy, we pray for them. I even think of the disciples of old. Who was their biggest enemy? Paul, at the time. He literally was the main person who was coming against the gospel of their time. Killing Christians. He hated Christians. Who ended up writing most of the New Testament and bringing more people to Christ than anyone? Paul, isn't God good? Pray for those people. Pray for people around us. There's power in prayer. God is with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, last week, I'm just going to touch on this quickly. Last week I read Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. I just want to remind us of a list of some things that God hates. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who stirs up conflict in community. So to love God and know God requires calling dirt, dirt, sin, sin, and evil, evil. Can I get an amen? I know there's a lot of people who don't like this kind of message this day, but just like a number of weeks ago preaching, saying, hey, there is a heaven and there is a hell, we're going to be a church that preaches the full word of God. And this is what the Bible says. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we don't walk by grace. We love people. We give grace. But we put God and his word first place in our lives. And because God loves us, he tells us how to live and what is good and what is not. And our job is to point people to the cross, to Jesus, not pour condemnation on them. Just because we hate evil doesn't mean that we go around telling them. That's not God's heart. We need to reflect the love of God in everything that we do. But for Christians, it becomes a different thing. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and shows us we need to look. Humility looks at the inside first, as opposed to judging other people. So when I preach messages like this, let's look to ourselves and make sure we're walking with the Lord and not other people, so that we can walk right out there. People who are in sin, they know a lot of the times the wrong that they're doing. And when there's not relationship there, they don't need another finger pointing at them. They need the love of Christ, because the love of Christ is what's going to change them from the inside out. Isaiah 5:20 says this: woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we live in a world like this, right? That's how we can read a scripture like this. I remember writing a song lyric when I was in my 20s, in a song called Conviction that I had written in my 20s. And I said this in my lyric: it's crazy to think that the day has come where people think I'm the crazy one for trying to do good. It's what that verse says in Isaiah that we just read. Now, I want to read, just go through a number of scriptures of some additional benefits of the fear of the Lord. And then we're going to switch gears a bit, okay? Here are some additional benefits to fear, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. Yeah, strong confidence. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. Psalm 34:9, there is no want to those who fear him. Acts 9:31 says, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. The fear of the Lord is a powerful thing. I could have preached this message probably a couple weeks ago when I was talking about putting God first, right? So who do you fear most, man or God? People or God? Whose words, whose thoughts, whose opinions do you give the greatest attention to or consideration? To fear God is to fear nothing else. If there's one thing you get from this message today, to fear God is to fear nothing else. That will change your life if you get a grasp on it. Why? Because there's full confidence in God. So let the love of God perfect you. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe." Acts 5:29, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." So when it comes down to it, the fear of the Lord is a trust question. Are we going to trust in our God beyond what we see or feel? Proverbs 29:25 says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." We already read that one. Now, in our own insecurity can keep us walking in fear of man. And we need to deal with our own insecurity so we can get our eyes off ourselves and onto God. Just like I was talking about being a teenager. When I got my eyes onto the things of God, my focus, everything else changed. What are our insecurities as humans? I'm just going to list off a few. Our looks, weight, ability, what we can and can't do, achievements, what we have or haven't accomplished, spiritual walk or state, our self-doubt, can be an insecurity, or being short on confidence can be an insecurity. And what are the symptoms of insecurity? It causes us to be selfish and judgmental and defensive. But we can know that the root of pride is destroyed when we deal with our insecurities. Amen. The root of pride is destroyed when we deal with our insecurities. So, what is the cure for insecurity? I want to give you three quick things, cures for insecurity. Can I? The first one is this: live for an audience of one. Live for the audience of one. Galatians 1:10 says this: "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Whew, that's powerful, isn't it? They say that public speaking, people would rather die than public speak. Isn't that crazy? Now, when I was younger, what did they say about public speaking? Oh, you know what will make things easier for public speaking? Just imagine everyone in their underwear. Have you ever heard that? You know what? That doesn't work. If anything, it makes you more insecure. It'll make you more afraid. When I was talking with a friend of mine who is from Waterloo and a worship leader. He has been flying down to Arizona to lead worship for a church of about 5,000 people down there. And I'm like, hey, what's it like, you know? You know what his answer was? And we were talking about this. It doesn't matter if you're leading worship for 5 people, for 50 people, for 500 people, or for 5,000 people. It's all about the audience of one. Amen? When you live your life for God, as an audience of one, you'll have a different perspective. Things that normally you might be afraid of, you won't be afraid of anymore. And the second cure for the insecure is this. My confidence comes from who I am in Christ alone. Amen? In Christ alone. Our security is not in what we have. It's not in what we know. It's to whom we belong. Our value is in who I am, not what I do. It's one thing to make a mistake. It's another thing to believe that you are a mistake. God did not make you a mistake. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, 3, sorry, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, we are confident in all of this because our great trust is in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. That's awesome. Our worth and our value is in Jesus Christ alone. What do I think of? Who do I think of in the Bible when I think of this? I think of David. David and Goliath. When David went to Goliath and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This is the day this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David knew who his God was, and he knew he was known by his God. Pride bases things on our own abilities, but humility is based upon God's abilities. Amen? Now, the third cure for the insecure is this. A revelation, I've talked about this already, but a revelation of God's love drives out fear. Oh, that's so good. My feelings, they will always disqualify me. The Bible teaches us to walk by what? By faith and not by sight. We sang about it this morning. Why? Because we don't always feel lovable. We don't always feel like we deserve God's love. We can feel disqualified and unworthy. But we have a choice to live by our feelings or by the revelation of God's word. 1 John 4, 16 to 18 says this, so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love does what? It drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Whew, that is powerful stuff right there. When we cut ourselves down, if you will, we're agreeing with what the devil says, and not what God says. The only thing that gives us value is knowing Christ, created by God, that we are loved by him. It's not based upon what we do or what we haven't done. God chose you. He loves you. Ephesians 1, 4-5 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance to his pleasure and will. If we get a glimpse of how much God loves us, we never have to feel insecure again. And if we really knew how much God loves us, we would not be afraid of our own weakness or our own mistakes. Yeah, we make a mistake, but God is so good that he's already forgiven us of our past, our present, and our future when we're devoted to him and put him first. That's awesome. If we ever grasp how much God loves us, we will never feel insecure again. Willingness to trust God and risk the loss of favor with man, it's the only safe place to be, is being secure in Christ. Humility will allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, and you will find, if you will, God will give you gifts. God will give you gifts. Like a word of knowledge, which means you know something about someone without ever meeting that person. God will give us gifts. They are alive and well in the body of Christ and for us to have today. They didn't die with Jesus and his disciples. They're alive and well. And when we follow Christ, when we put him first, there will be situations where things like this just happen. I want to end with a story of an example of this from Pastor Robert Morris. Pastor Robert Morris is the lead pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas. Pastor Robert and his wife Debbie were sitting in a restaurant one time when this couple walked in. Pastor Robert says, the man, or the husband, if you will, was huge. He was all muscle, a bodybuilder, obviously, he says. And as soon as he walked in, I knew something just like that. Debbie, his wife, even said, "You have a word, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." So we prayed together as a couple for that other couple. Lord, allow them to receive that word, this word. Pastor Robert remembers saying, "Lord, give me a way to start the conversation," because he didn't want to go over there and say, "This saith the Lord." So he went over and said, "Hey, I don't want to bother y'all, but I have a question for you, if that's okay. And they said, "Okay." And he said this, "Have you ever worked out?" And they both laughed. And then he cracked another joke saying, "You know, if you follow my workout routine, you can have a body like mine, like his." And he said that broke the ice. But he continued to say, "I don't want to bother you, but when you walked in," he said, "I know this sounds strange, but I feel the Lord spoke something to me that I'm supposed to share with you." They looked at each other like a Mack truck hit them. The man said to his wife, "I can't believe this." And he reached over and took his wife's hand. Pastor Robert said, "Do you mind if I share with you?" And the man said, "Please, would you sit down and share it with us, because we're talking about some things about this right now." Pastor Robert sat down and he said to them, "I saw a vision when you walked in today. I saw a vision of a little boy who was sitting on his grandmother's lap." And the man put his head down to his chest when Pastor Robert said that. Pastor Robert continued to say, "And this grandmother had a Bible in her lap, and she told the boy about Samson. And she said, 'If you give your life to God, he will make you as strong as Samson.'" And do you know what Pastor Robert found out later? That this man was a former Mr. Universe. He continued with the vision. "Your grandmother said, 'If you give your life to God, he will make you as strong as Samson.' And you gave your life to God sitting there, right there in your grandmother's lap. The man looked up and Pastor Robert said, "And the Lord wanted me to tell you that he has kept up his end of the deal, but you haven't kept up your end of the deal." Now, Pastor Robert jokingly says, "Now you better have heard from God when you're telling Mr. Universe that." But the man put his finger in his thumb in his eyes and he started weeping. And his wife started crying. The man responded by telling Pastor Robert that he was raised by his mom. She was a single mom, so his grandmother kept him a lot growing up. He said, "One day I was walking home and these boys threw rocks at me. And one of the rocks hit me in the head and I started bleeding. When I got home, my grandmother took care of me and got out her Bible and she read the story of Samson to me. She told me that if I lived for God, that he would make me as strong as Samson. And I made a commitment that day to do it." Then he continued to say, "I told my wife that story for the first time on the way to the restaurant today." Pastor Robert prayed with them and led them both back to the Lord right there at that table in that restaurant. Do you know why we need the humility of Jesus? Because God wants to equip us with gifts that are going to impact the world around us for the work of ministry. People every day. The Holy Spirit is ready and available for us to work with us. Sin just comes in the way. It blocks us from hearing the Holy Spirit and where God is leading us each and every day. And if we just lay ourselves down at the foot of Jesus, it allows the Lord to come in and do a work in our hearts. And we're drawn into the presence of the Lord. This is for each and every one of us as Christians. So I ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you sent Jesus to this earth, Lord, to be our example of humility. Lord, thank you that he was the most humble person that ever walked the earth. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you made a way for us to be made righteous and perfect through your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would empower each one of us right now to have the power each and every day with the people around us to point them to the cross. To not just pour condemnation and blame and wrong on them, but to tell them of the love of Christ. Knowing, Holy Spirit, that it's you that changes people, that brings conviction. But you call us to walk with you. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Would you pour your Holy Spirit on us now? We ask for your gifts, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that these people here would, everyone here who's ready to receive, would welcome these gifts into their lives, that one day they'll wake up, they'll be pumping gas or at a grocery store or at a restaurant, and they'll be led of you to say something, to encourage someone into your presence. Lord, may we walk in the confidence that you give us, Lord, knowing that you are our protector, knowing that we don't have anything to fear in this world. The devil, the world can pour fear on us, but we reject it by the power of Jesus' name, Lord. We look to you and put you first in all things. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of sin, to strengthen us with our everyday walk. Everyday things that we've missed it, Lord. Forgive us of our sin. Thank you, Lord. We find our hope in you alone, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you didn't just go to the cross and die for us, but you were raised again. And the Lord, the purpose that we can stand here today, forgiven, filled with your power and might, is because you rose from the grave, and that the same power that rose Christ from the grave lives in us today. And we give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. We worship you. Lord, we come to you in a heart of humility saying, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. We love you. Thank you for first loving us. Thank you that you came to us. We give you all the praise and the glory. And everyone said, amen. 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 Let's stand, and we're going to invite the worship team to come back and sing this one more song, this powerful song.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Since with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns.
No power.